This is the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast, episode number 125. And on this episode, we're talking to Jamie Dana, who's done over $1 million in sales of her online course in a very niche industry. So if you've been thinking about selling more of your online course, this episode is for you. Stay tuned.
Hey there, you're listening to the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast. My name is Zach Spuckler, and on this show, we talk about how to go from passionate side hustler to full-time online business owner with tips, tricks, and interviews to help you take it to the next level. Let's do it.
What is up, Heart Hustlers? Welcome to another episode of the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast. Now, per usual, I'm pretty stoked for this episode, which is another in our series that I'm calling Coffee with CEOs. And it's really just conversations with really successful business owners as if we're having it over a cup of coffee. And so you're going to meet Jamie Dana, who was a client of mine a couple of years ago. And we worked together on her first online course launch. And now she's gone on to do over $1 million in sales of that same online course. And you're going to hear some really cool stuff. But before we dive into that, I want to let you know that this week's episode is sponsored by my upcoming challenge on how to sell more of your online courses. Now, here's the thing. The way of launching in the past is kind of fading out in the online space. You know, you used to be able to do a webinar and get lots of people signed up and then convert really well. But the truth is, if you do a webinar now, you're going to be lucky to spend $8 to $10 a webinar lead. And then if you're really lucky, you'll get 30% of those people to show up. And then a small percentage of those people are actually going to buy your product. So you end up spending all of this money on people who aren't even going to see your webinar. And that's incredibly frustrating. But there's a different way of launching, and that's the underdog launch. And it worked for people like John Ferreira, who got over 400 leads, 7x'd his ad spend, and said he finally has a clear step-by-step path to actually launching. So if you want to learn more, you can head over to heartsoulhustle.com/courses. And I'm going to take you through a free 5-day training where I'll teach you how to position yourself to sell more of your online courses in 2019. So if you're ready to kind of break away from the guru launch model and stop doing things that aren't working and actually plug into a system that has worked for people big and small, you want to head over to heartsoulhustle.com/courses. Now on to this week's episode. Like I said, we've got Jamie on the show, and I won't say too much because Jamie does an excellent job of introducing herself, but I did want to make a point of noting that, yeah, we're going to talk about some tactical stuff that she's done to scale, but what you'll notice is that it's the minute, small, intentional habits that Jamie has created that really led to the biggest shift in her online course business. So as you're listening to this episode, I want you to kind of pay attention for what are the small habits? What are the small shifts? What are the mindset changes that Jamie had to go through to do $1 million in course sales? Because it's not some special launch strategy. It's not something crazy different. It's just something that works really well for her, and she's continued to scale it up over time. And so I don't want to give away too much, so we'll just welcome Jamie to the show. Hey, Jamie, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Hey, I'm so excited to be a part of your podcast. I've been listening to it, I think, since you launched it. So I think this is so fun, and I'm just stoked to be here.
Well, I am ridiculously stoked to have you because I feel like I have seen you just grow and transform. We started working together back in April of 2016, and we've been on again, off again in various capacities, but it has been so amazing to see your growth, what you've done. I don't want to take away from your story by sharing too much. So for those who are listening, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, your business, and really what you've accomplished in like the last 3 years?
Yeah, I mean, there's so much wrapped up in that. But so I am a hairstylist originally. I've been in the hair industry for about 10 years now. And I started to want to create some sort of passive income. And, you know, we all throw that term around, but you know what I mean? Like some sort of different type of income than working behind the chair. As I'm sure a lot of you guys know, working as a hairstylist can be really physically demanding, emotionally demanding, mentally demanding. And so it was something that I was like, okay, I want to kind of shift out of that. I didn't know if I wanted to give that up completely or whatever, but I knew I wanted to go into education. And at the time, about 3.5 years ago, there was this huge insurgence in the hair industry where people were going into independent education, meaning they weren't necessarily working for brands such as like Redken or L'Oreal. They were working on their own and creating their own independent education. Well, a lot of them would go from salon to salon and basically travel around the country. And although that looked glamorous on Instagram, I knew that I wouldn't be able to keep up with that. And going from salon to salon teaching classes to me was something that was sounded fun, but then I knew I was going to burn out, and just being gone and traveling so much was something that I didn't want long term. So I started to kind of get into the whole like online space of online courses and education. And that's kind of when things like Periscope had just come out. And I think actually that's how I found you, probably through someone. I think it might have been through Tiffany, through Coach Glitter.
Yeah.
So it's super random, but it was all through Periscope. And so that was kind of coming out. Instagram was still kind of a baby. Facebook didn't even have Facebook Live. So a lot of this stuff was just kind of starting up. And I was like, I wonder if there's a way that I could create an online course for other hairstylists. So I started just to kind of play around with the idea. And I, again, just really got like deep in the online world. And so I decided to create an online course. And that's kind of where I transitioned. So I was working in the salon part-time. I had my own like salon suite at the time. So it was part-time in the salon, started this online course. I started working with you. I built it out. I launched it a couple times. And in the beginning, it was extremely, to me, what I thought was extremely successful. I remember our very first launch was $17,000. And I was like so excited. I think on the webinar, for the first webinar, I think I made like $8,000 or something. And I was like, oh my gosh, I just made $8,000. Like, this is crazy. Like, I never thought that this could happen. And I didn't really have like huge goals for myself. I think for that launch, I was like, hopefully I make like $5,000 to like, you know, double my investment that I put into it, like blah, blah, blah. And I ended up making $17,000. So I was so stoked. So I launched it a couple times after that, you know, kind of increasing every single time, but nothing like massive. I know I got up to like, I think 40,000 for one launch and then 50,000. And I realized that I was like, okay, I really need to kind of level up. I didn't feel like I had plateaued, but I also had felt like I was almost like complacent at where I was. And so I decided to like really like dive in deep. I started working with different people and different mentors and just like getting all in. And at that same time, I also decided to step away from working in the salon. So all this time, I think it was about a year and a half, maybe almost 2 years, where I was had this online business, was growing my Instagram, was growing like all of my, you know, online platform. And then I also was working as a hairstylist and having to take care of clients. And that was just extremely exhausting. And so I made the hard decision to get rid of my clientele. I still own a salon where I have a couple girls that work for me, and I still am in the salon able to do education. So I go in the salon here and there to create like YouTube videos and just really to create content for hairstylists. But yeah, I gave that up. And honestly, that was July of last year was my first official day where I quit my job, which was weird to think, but it was amazing. It was honestly the best decision that I could have made. And since then, that's when things really started to rev up, when I was able to pour all of my time and energy back into my business and back into the business that I truly loved. Like at the end of the day, I loved being a hairstylist and being able to take care of my clients, but I really felt this calling to help more hairstylists grow their business. And when I kind of realized that when I was working behind the chair, I wasn't able to fully commit to that. That's when it really became apparent to me that I had to, you know, kind of quit my job basically and go full time as, you know, an online educator. And so since then, like I said, that's kind of when things like really started to blow up, I guess. My Instagram has grown insanely. I think when we started working together, I was at 10, I had just hit 10,000 followers on Instagram, and now I'm at over 140,000. So that's grown and it continues to grow. I have a YouTube channel that has like over 80,000 subscribers there, and that's just in the last year. So lots of stuff has happened there. But the cool thing has been my online course has hit over 1.2 million in sales lifetime. Yeah. So, which is insane. Okay. I could not have imagined that. And I remember the very first year we hit 100,000 in the first year. And I was like, oh my gosh, like we had just hit it. It was like a few days before the year anniversary of it. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is insane. Like how crazy. And then now to even know that we're past the million mark is like crazy insane. And it's just been so cool just to see how the online course has really helped my audience and helped so many hairstylists with their businesses. And it's actually like has changed lives. And that's ultimately why we all do this, right? It's to really help other people. And so it's just been a cool journey. It's been a crazy journey. So many ups and downs thrown in there. But yeah, I just feel extremely grateful for it.
Oh my gosh, so good. And so this is why I was so excited to bring you on the show, because you have not just created an online course, but you have created a massive impact in your industry. And we listen to a lot of people, or we hear from a lot of people that are like, well, I'm in a niche industry, or I'm a little different. And you're in kind of a niche industry where you've like really carved out a name for yourself. And now you've gone to events and people actively seek you out. Like, what has that been like, almost becoming an industry leader over the past couple of years?
Yeah, it's crazy. Like that was definitely the goal. The goal was, and I think I remember telling you this when we first started working together, that like, I want to be known in my industry. Like I want to be an educator. And I, at the time I didn't take on that term educator. Like I hadn't fully accepted it that I was an educator. And so anyways, that has been for sure the goal, and it slowly happened. I definitely think that it happened slower than I wanted it to. Of course, that's how it always goes. But you know, it was one of those things where now I can go to events. It's weird. Like people come up to me and they're like, oh my gosh, you're Jamie Dana. Like, can I get a picture? Or like, I follow you, or you've changed my life, or whatever. And like hearing that is just like so surreal to me. It's bizarre, but it's so, so cool. And just to really be able to like meet those people, meet those students, or meet those people that maybe have just followed along, or, you know, are watching my journey, whatever that is, and to really see the impact in their lives has been so, so cool. And it's a weird feeling. Like I tell people this, I'm like, it's weird. Like it's weird when people come up to me. I mean, we'll be at Disneyland, and every time we're at Disneyland, someone finds me and comes up to me and says hi. It's like bizarre. I'm like, hey, this is just like weird. Like I don't feel famous at all, because I'm totally not, but it is just that I have created a really strong connection with my audience, and I feel like they know that, and I really do care deeply about them. So yeah, it's a weird feeling though.
No, I love it. And you said something so key there, which is like, when we started working together, I remember that 3 years ago that you were like, I want to be an industry leader. So can you talk to us about how you kind of, I mean, I guess on some level you probably reverse engineered it a little bit, but how did you kind of start to carve out a name for yourself? Like what steps did you take? Because your launches have grown dramatically since that first 17K launch, which was amazing to witness. And I remember you had a small email list. It was like, what, a couple hundred at the time when you started?
I don't even remember. Definitely under 1,000, I want to say.
It was a relatively small, like, you know, trust me, 100 is an amazing place to start, but you were, you know, you were relatively small compared to where you are now. But what have you done to really forge this path of industry leadership?
So I think one of the biggest things that I knew from the very beginning was, in order to stand out, I had to do something different. And when I saw these other independent educators, they were all teaching the same thing. They were all teaching hair techniques, hair color, hair cutting, whatever, hair, you know, styling, braiding, things like that. And nobody at the time was teaching business education. And for me, that's something I'm super passionate about. I never felt crazy confident as a hairstylist teaching other hairstylists techniques. I do now. I've grown and I've gained confidence in that area. But I really felt like there was a need for business education and for people to be able to actually grow a business, not necessarily just have the skills behind it. And so I saw that as not only a need, but something that was different. And so basically my online program now, it teaches hairstylists how to use Instagram to grow their business. So it's super niche. I wouldn't say it's crazy, crazy niche, but it is smaller. It's not like I teach entrepreneurs how to use Instagram. You know, I teach hairstylists how to use Instagram to grow their business. And because I really honed in on not even just teaching social media in general, like I've honed in on, I'm going to teach you how to use Instagram, one platform, how to grow your business, and not how to get more followers, not necessarily how to, you know, become an influencer, but how to actually grow your business and what that looks like for you. That does that mean getting more clients? Does that mean having more stylists work at your salon, selling more retail, whatever that looks like for you as a hairstylist, like how to do that. And so I think the biggest thing is niching down, not even in just who I'm speaking to, but niching down into what I specialize in. And I think that's been the biggest thing that set me apart is people know me now as like Jamie, she teaches Instagram. And now, yeah, again, I do teach other hair techniques and stuff as well. And I've kind of niched in that area as well as I've grown, but I am kind of like the go-to person for Instagram within the hair industry. And so that's cool. It's weird, again, to like feel that way, but I think that's been the biggest thing is really honing in on what you do and going all in on the one thing and not trying to do everything for everyone, you know?
Yeah, that's so good. And that's one thing that you've been amazing at that, to be completely honest, is something I've struggled with in my business, which is you honed in on one thing. And I remember when we talked, gosh, like this would have been a year and a half ago. And you were like, I think this was you, correct me if I'm wrong, but okay. I think you were like, I'm thinking about doing this expansion. Maybe I'll do an Instagram stories course, but then you never did.
Yes, I never did. Yeah. And I even had thought of doing like photography for hairstylists because yes. I was known for, and I decided, no, I was like, and not that that won't happen in the future, whatever. Yeah, no, I just decided to go all in on the one program. So this entire time I've only had one product. That's it. One course. And it's grown and it's changed and it's evolved, but I haven't had anything else. So that's been cool to see it. It's not like I've had, you know, 500 courses and a mini offer here and a thing here. Like, oh, and one other thing too, that's crazy. I just realized this the other day is I've only had basically one opt-in this entire time, like one freebie.
Oh my gosh.
How crazy is that, right? I've had a couple like small ones. Like I did like a New Year's guide and like a progress journal, but like actually it's been one freebie this whole time. And it's just happened to work so well. I picked a good one, a good topic, I should say, but I've just went all in on it and I haven't spread myself thin, I guess. And I think that's been a huge reason of why I've had such big numbers, such big success with it, is because I've been able to focus in and hone in and make that one product better.
Yeah, that's so good. And I love that you say like one opt-in, one product, one real focus. And obviously we all do that where we dabble a little bit here and we dabble a little bit there, but because you stayed focused, like we tend to create this perception in our mind that like an industry leader has this product suite and this ascension model and all these things because we hear about it and it's fancy and it's fun. But you have really built your business on one core product. You've built your notoriety and your leadership on one core product, which has just been amazing to watch. And like you said, it's brought you over $1 million in revenue, which is crazy to think about. Because it's just one product.
Yeah. And at this point, we are working behind the scenes, expanding that. So I'm actually coming out with a new, not product, it's a new offer, I guess. Can't say anything about it yet. But so we are working on that, but that's 3 years in, you know?
Yeah.
And I, like I said, had thoughts of doing other things. And when I realized, okay, if I do a photography course or if I do a new course, then it's just going to take away my focus from the one thing that really is working. And that's really changing lives. And so, yeah, it was a huge thing to kind of put away that maybe other dream for a little bit and say, you know, not right now, maybe in the future, but not right now. I need to focus still on really working on this one thing. And it's, again, changed my business, obviously. And it's made life so much easier. I don't have like a million things that I have to promote or launch or think about, you know, and it doesn't spread my team thin. We know what we're working on. So that's been super huge.
Yeah. And I love that you say that, is that it's not necessarily no forever. It's just a no for right now, mm-hmm. until you have the time and the capacity to do it better. Because I had the privilege of being behind the scenes of one of your recent launches. You shared some of what you've done with me, mm-hmm. and you are a well-oiled machine at this point. It's it's not like you're like, well, what if we try this? And what if we try that? It's like, we are in it. We are ready to win it. Here are our numbers. Here's what's happening. And you set these goals and these expectations, and then you hit them, because you are not operating from a place of what's going to work. You're operating from a place of, we have business systems and processes in place, and we're just running with it at this point.
Mm, yeah. And I think that's the biggest thing, is like, every launch has been, let's try something new, but let's also go back to, we know what works, and let's run with that and dive deeper into that. So yeah, you've been helping me with ads and things and running the ad side of it, which was a huge help to us, because I had done it all before and it just is so much work. And so I'm very grateful to have you be kind of a part of the team now. And that's been one thing that was like, okay, we know what works, but let's test this a little bit, but let's go back to what works and let's roll with that and let's dive deeper into that. And that's been a huge thing of like every launch, knowing like, okay, looking back at the numbers, looking back at the stats, checking all that stuff and going forward with it.
Yeah. And that brings up a great point, which is part of what's made you so successful. And I'm curious to hear more about this from you, is like, you know your numbers. And I loved running the ads for your launch, because we're numbers geeks. And so we're updating spreadsheets, but you are a numbers geek and you had your own spreadsheets that you were running and updating. So how did you, like, I wrote down a couple of things here, which is like, be different, niche down. But one of the things that I've observed in you is that you know your numbers and you know your system. So how did you kind of step into what I view as like the CEO role of not just creative directing, but I guess I would say like quantitative or financial projections?
Mm. It's so funny. I never thought that I was like good with numbers or a good math person or whatever. Like growing up, I never felt that way. But it's funny because it's one of the things that you helped me early on in the days of like, okay, you need a spreadsheet. You need to be tracking all this stuff. And over the years, that spreadsheet has grown and gotten way more massive. But it's so important to log that stuff, because if you're not tracking your numbers, your stats, what's doing well, what's not doing well, there's no way that you're going to be able to progress. You have to know what your stats are. You have to know, hey, that ad didn't work, or that post didn't do that well, or that video, we got to change it up, you know? And it's always going back to like testing and trying different things, but knowing first and foremost your numbers so that you can move forward solidly having that behind the scenes. So yeah, I have become a major numbers geek when it comes to stuff. And just, I love my spreadsheets, especially during a launch, like updating them, looking at them, checking them out and seeing like, okay, comparing them to the previous launches, looking at all that stuff. Okay, are we on track? Are we not on track? What's going on? What's going on behind the scenes? And yeah, definitely through the last launches, we've incorporated a lot more elements to it, but that's just with growth. And it's funny, I was actually talking to a really good friend who's starting her online course business right now. And she was asking me like, okay, so in your first couple launches, you know, how much did you spend on ads? How much did you, you know, whatever, all of my stats. And I was able to pull them up for her. And it was cool to look back and see those stats and be like, wow, like I was such a baby back then, and seeing how much growth we've had. But I wouldn't be able to look back on that and see the growth if I hadn't tracked it in the first place. So not only is it cool to see it from a growth standpoint, but it's also just so important to know as you're moving forward as a business, like to be able to know your numbers, know what's going on behind the scenes, know what works and what doesn't, and then be able to kind of put the things in play that do work and that do work well for you.
Yeah. And like you said, it's not just like your spreadsheets have become more robust over time, but you can start with just tracking the basics of like, how much did I spend on ads? What was my ROI? How many programs did I sell? And just being able to go back and look at that. And I know that we now have a process that we've adapted from several of my mentors, where we actually go through and we ask questions like, what has worked? What hasn't worked? Mm-hmm. What are we going to do different next time? What did we like doing this time? What didn't we like doing this time? And so it's like getting clear on the fact that you can start simple, but mm-hmm. just start tracking.
Yeah. Absolutely. And like, I think that's so true what you were saying, how like what worked, what didn't. I didn't ask those questions in the beginning. You know, I was just like, okay, how many webinar registrations do we have? How many did we sell? You know, it was like super basic numbers. Obviously, now we know like our webinar conversion rates per webinar and like all of this stuff that's so much more trackable, but that's just growing over time and realizing like, oh yeah, that would be a good stat to know next time, you know, so that we can compare them. But I think also going back and asking yourself, sometimes even during the launch, like I just kept, it was just like a Google file that just basically had like, this is not working. So in the moment, I could write down like, hey, this isn't working, or this is working great. And then at the end of the launch, that also helped me kind of go back to those moments of like, oh yeah, I was really stressed out during this time because this wasn't working. So how can we improve that for next time? Or how do we avoid that? And that was super, super helpful of just understanding in the moment in the launch, things that worked and things that didn't. And then being able to kind of ask myself those questions after, because there's a lot of things and there's so many layers with launching and there's so many things that you forget about and those emotions run high and they run low. And so tracking that in the moment was helpful. I did that this last launch and I'm excited to kind of even take that into my next launches.
That's so good. And would you say that by tracking that data, you've been able to confidently scale your launches?
Oh yeah. 100%. Because now I know, okay, this is how much I make, you know, my earnings per lead. Like I know how much I'm going to make based off how many people sign up for the webinar. So like that just gives me like, we have a goal and I know that I can confidently come close to that goal, exceed that goal, or at least be in the ballpark. And actually this last launch, we didn't hit our goal. You know that. We came under our goal. There were definitely things that happened throughout the launch, but being able to track that and be like, okay, this didn't work. Why didn't this work? How can we change it going forward so that next time we can hit that goal? But yeah, it's definitely helped me be able to feel more confident with scaling and even just being able to be like, okay, we're projecting we're going to hit this goal number. So we can spend this amount on ads, or we can pour this much time into X, Y, and Z because we know kind of our numbers to be able to project that. So super, super helpful. And yeah, definitely made me more confident when it came to launching.
Yeah. And I love your approach because you say set goals, but something that you do that I've noticed that really sets you apart from other entrepreneurs and other people in the online course space is that you don't just set goals, you set KPIs. You set like these key performance indicators of what you want to happen. So you're not saying, oh, I want an X launch. You're saying, I want to get this many people in. I want to spend this much on ads. And we see so often, and I bet you've seen this, especially as you've talked to people who I'm sure you're attracting people who are like, Jamie, I want to start my online course business, right? I'm sure you hear people say all the time, well, I want this launch and I have this much to spend on ads, right? Instead of saying like, how much do I need to spend on ads to create this result?
Right. Right. And that's so important, just knowing your numbers and obviously being flexible in that. Like I said, we didn't hit the number that we wanted to, and that's okay. I'm flexible. It was still an amazing launch. We spent a great amount of money for ads, but it wasn't something extravagant, but it was because I knew my numbers. I knew how much I could spend and having kind of a budget of like, all right, how much do we need to spend to get there? But then also like preparing for that too, within the budget. So it just really helps with planning. And yeah, it might sound like I'm a total numbers nerd, and I kind of am now, but I kind of love it, you know?
Yeah, no, this is so good. So like the big things that are standing out to me are like, number one, you got to do something different. And I have a friend and mentor who likes to say, you got to zig when everyone zags. You got to be different to stand out. And then you got to niche down to one big thing. Like you are the Instagram girl for hairstylists and people are like, Zach, you're the challenge guy, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, own that title because that gives you positioning and foothold in the marketplace. And then become a numbers person because you can reach more people and expand your reach when you really confidently know your numbers.
Absolutely. Yeah. 100%. Love that recap. I love it.
It's good. So What I'd love to ask you is, what have you changed? Like we've talked a lot about the business and we've talked a lot about your growth in the last 3 years, but are there things that you've changed in terms of your mindset in the online space or your mindset in being a course educator that you think has really allowed you to excel?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things has just been kind of trusting the process. I know in the beginning, I wasn't sure, would we hit this number? Are we going to get people that sign up? You know, like kind of that, I just wasn't confident because I was new at it, but really trusting the process and kind of just understanding like, hey, this is the journey that I'm on and either we're going to hit the launch number or we're not. And that's okay. And like, there's going to be lessons that learn. I think even James Wedmore talked about this. I was at the Impact Kajabi Summit and he said something. He's like, either you're going to hit your, you're going to get the result or you're going to learn a lesson. And I was like, oh, that's so good because it's so true that, you know, I've kind of just learned of like trusting the process, trusting that things are going to go the way that they need to go. And just to really accept the journey that I might learn a lesson. It might be a failure, but that's okay. And you know what? We might hit our goals. And every time that I've set a high, crazy goal, I've hit it, except for this last launch, but that's okay. I learned a lot of lessons there. And that's been the coolest thing is like, I just like keep going for it. I think that's one of the biggest things is what I tell people that are like, wow, you're so lucky, or I can't believe that happened for you or whatever. And I'm like, you got to just keep pushing through. I think there's so often, so many times that we're just like, you know what? I'm going to give up. Like, I'm over this. Like, I don't care anymore. And you want to give up, but that's when you have to keep pushing because you never know what's on the other side of that. And I think that's been the thing that's maybe set me apart from others is when it got hard, I just kept going and I didn't stop. So that's been my mindset of, you know, you just got to keep pushing through. You can do hard things. And at the end of the day, you're either going to get that result or you're going to learn a lesson. And that was, he put it into the best words that I could have. And I was like, oh, that's exactly what I needed to hear because that's how I felt.
Yeah, that's so good. And the thing that I love about what you're saying is that so many people are afraid of failure, but James also likes to say like, there's no such thing as failure. Failure is self-defined, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and I love that that's so in line with what you're talking about, where you're like, we didn't hit our goal for this launch, but it was an epic freaking launch.
Right.
And so many people don't realize how epic their stuff is. Like, we had a student recently who's like, yeah, I had my first launch ever, but I only made X. And I was like, do you know how many people would kill just to make their first dollar online or break even or profit? It's like, you've got to sit with your success. And you've done such a good job of doing that, not just sitting with your success, but sitting with your lessons and really being able to step forward. I almost said failures, but there's no failures.
There's lessons. Yeah.
The lessons. And one of the other things that I would love to hear you talk about is, I know that you have this kind of like this campaign that you ran. And I'm going to get it wrong, so please correct me, which was community over competition. And I think that maybe that was a huge mind. Feel free to be like, no, I've always felt this way. But I think that was a shift that I almost saw you make where when you started, you were like, how do I maximize this? And how do I get my foothold in the marketplace to a place where you said there's room for everybody? And now I've seen you and you're friends with people in this industry who would be considered competitors. And yet you have this collaboration or community over competition. I always mix them up.
Yeah, close enough. Community over competition. We'll call it that. Yeah. So one of the things that I realized probably a couple years ago, I think probably in the beginning, I wasn't as confident, right? And I wanted I wanted to hit those numbers, or I wanted to set my mark or become an industry leader, whatever. And throughout the years, I realized that at the end of the day, I don't want to become more famous or more known just so that Jamie Dana can be more famous. Like, at the end of the day, that's not what it's about. I want to become more known, more, I guess, famous, you could say, just so that more hairstylists could grow their businesses, so that I can help more people and so that I can create a bigger impact. And so that's kind of where it came from, and really kind of not living in that scarcity mindset. I think this has been said, and one of my good friends, John Bradley, we talk about this all the time, that here's the thing. People don't buy just one course. They don't buy one self-help book. They don't go to one conference or one retreat or whatever it is, right? There's so much room, and there's so many hairstylists out there. There's hundreds and millions of, you know, hundreds of thousands and millions of us out there that I can't worry about if somebody buys another, you know, hair educator's course or they go to their class. Like, they're going to come back to me because they like me and they like what I do and how I educate. So I really haven't lived in that scarcity mindset. And I think that that totally comes back to the community over competition thing. And I actually started, so the campaign that you're referring to is, I called it Raise Up to Rise Up. And when we raise others up, that's when we're able to rise up too. And so that's kind of been the whole thing behind my mission. That again, it's not to get me famous. It's so that I can become more known so that more hairstylists can grow their businesses. And I think that that mindset shift of, it's not about me at all. It's about the people that I'm trying to help and the impact that I'm able to make. And that has, I think, really helped just even grow my platform, but really helped my audience feel that authentic connection to me and in turn become customers and clients and so forth.
Yeah, that's so good. And I love the idea of like, look, there is room enough for everyone. There's plenty of space. It's like, you know, we talk about it in the online space, but it's like, you know, you go to, I don't know, like you go to Kohl's and it's not like there's one t-shirt company that's like got a monopoly on the marketplace, right? It's like, what t-shirt do you want? What are you in the market for? What resonates with your style? What resonates with your feelings? And like you said, people buy people and they buy multiple courses and they do multiple things. It's not like a one and done. It's like a continuing education. And when you realize that there's space for everyone, you stop stressing about the little things. You stop saying, well, what if this person does that? And what if this, that person does that? And it even in a weird way, creating space for other people, I think allows you to focus on yourself more and stay in your own lane.
Totally. And I think there's so much comparison that happens online. And this is definitely even something that I think everyone struggles with, but I struggle with, you know, of seeing other success and seeing, especially through Instagram, like we see kind of the highlight reel and we only see the amazing things that's happening in their business. We don't necessarily see the behind the scenes of what's going on and all the crappy stuff that's happening. And so it's so easy to see someone else's business, see their wins, and then think less of yourself of, you know, oh my gosh, they're doing this and their business is growing in this way and my business is crap, right? You know, and it's so easy to do that. And when you kind of shift that mindset of like, hey, guess what? They can succeed and I can succeed, right? Like, I think there's that quote about like when a flower blooms, like it doesn't take away from the other flower, right? Like, we can both succeed at the same time. And you know what? Students are going to go to their class or be part of their program or whatever. They can also be a part of my program and my students as well. And you know what? Even if they don't, I don't really care because that student is getting what they need and they're hopefully growing their business in the way that they need to. So when you kind of take it off of yourself of, it's all about me, it's about my business growing, and you kind of just kind of let that go, I feel like there's so much more freedom. And like you said, you're able to really just hone in on what you're doing and shift that focus away from like worrying about comparing yourself to everybody else's business.
Yeah. And I think that comes back to, you have such a clear picture of where you wanted to be from day one, that you wanted to be this industry leader, and that being an industry leader didn't mean Jamie Dana is famous. It meant Jamie Dana is helping people and making an impact.
Right. Yeah.
So good. So good. Well, as we start to wrap up here, I think you have shared so much amazing information. If you could kind of leave us with one thing or one action that people could take to start moving themselves forward based on what they heard today, what would that be?
Yeah. So one of the biggest things that I'm a huge fan of right now is connect with your audience and figure out a way to really get like dive deep with them. I think with Instagram changing in the way that it has, or Facebook changing, or whatever platform you're using, things are going to change. But at the end of the day, like, stop worrying about growing bigger or getting more followers or subscribers or whatever, and focus in on the people who have already taken time to be with you, your audience or your customers, and going deep with them. And that's going to speak volumes. And that's been one thing, especially because I teach Instagram, is everyone right now is all worried about followers and the engagement being low and not getting enough likes and whatever. And I've really just kind of let that go of like, who cares if I get, you know, way less likes than normal? I'm going to focus in on the people who are spending time commenting or spending time sending me a DM, connecting with them and going really, really deep with my audience and creating that emotional connection with them. And I think that has been such a huge thing of what has helped me stand out against other people or other so-called influencers is I actually care about my audience and I connect with them and I talk back with them and they know that. And that has turned them into customers in the long run or just turned them into really loyal fans and followers. And so that would be my biggest thing takeaway is really connect with them, ask them questions, talk back with them, leave comments more than just like, hey, thanks or whatever, like write back to them and really dive deep in with your audience. And the coolest thing is if you don't have a bunch of followers, this is so much easier for you to do to really create those connections with people online because that's all people really want. That's why we're going online is to create connections with others. And so that's been a big thing that I've just been recently diving deep into and not worrying about my follower count or, you know, my likes and engagement and really focusing on the relationships.
So good. So good. Well, Jamie, before I let you go, for those who are just smitten with you, like,
oh my gosh.
Like oh, they should you. Be. Where can we find out more about you? What's the best way to connect with you?
Yeah. So I hang out on Instagram. That's pretty much I'm there every single day. So Jamie Dana Hairstylist on Instagram. And I have a YouTube channel. It's mostly geared towards hairstylists, but if you're a hairstylist outdoor or you know a hairstylist, I'm just Jamie Dana on YouTube. I do tons of tutorials for hair stuff and then also tons of business advice. But mostly on Instagram. And then I have a website, jamiedana.com, but come over and say hi on Instagram. I'd love to hear if you listen to this podcast and I'd love to meet you.
Awesome. Well, we will link all that up in the show notes. Jamie, I just want to give you one big thank you so much for being here. Congratulations on everything you achieved. It's just been a joy and a pleasure watching you blossom over the last 3 years. And I can't even wait to see where you're going to be in the next 3 years.
Yay. Well, thank you. It's been so fun just even getting to work with you and like being, you've been there for my like whole journey. So it's been so cool. And I just feel extremely, extremely grateful for this journey that I'm on. So thank you.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Jamie. We will talk soon.
Okay. So I don't know about you, but I thought that was a great episode. And there's one thing that I really want to pull out that Jamie has done that we have on the show talked about and we're being really intentional about, which is she focused on one thing. And she talked about how there was temptation along the way to kind of create other courses. And yeah, she's starting to create some other courses now, but that's after she's done $1 million in sales on one online course. So if you're kind of out there thinking like, hey, what should the big takeaway from this episode be? My opinion is that it should be focus on one thing and master it. Whether that's one course or one service or, you know, one product, get really clear, or I hope you're really clear, that you can focus on one thing and create a wildly successful business. And when you start to kind of branch out and do one thing here and one thing there and get pulled in a million different directions, you don't actually create results in your business. You create inconsistency, you create struggle, you create the need for hustle, and you don't need to do that. So I hope you got a lot out of this episode. If you want to get a recap, you can head over to heartsoulhustle.com/125. Again, that's heartsoulhustle.com/125. We'll have all the links that we talked about. We'll link up to Jamie if you want to follow her and get more. And we will catch you next time on the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast. For more great stuff, be sure to visit heartsoulhustle.com.